from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast. It has been a busy time in Philadelphia, a busy time in sports in the country, and certainly a challenging time for all of us in this country. And hopefully things start to get better and people start to get healthier. And we kind of get through this pandemic and the COVID-19 virus better than we had been for the last, 11 months. But today, with baseball season coming up, I had a chance to talk to Major League umpire Phil Cuzzi, who is a very philanthropic guy and has been involved in a charity for many years for ALS for a longtime friend. And he's connected himself in his over 20 years of being a Major League umpire with a lot of people. And he's got a virtual fundraiser with Bob Costas as the MC and the host, with Bobby Valentine, Bucky Dent, and others, and Sopranos and Blue Blood star Steve Sciarrippa. But more importantly, umpires usually have great stories. And he will be telling some of the stories with some of the people. And he was part of the crew when Aaron Boone went ballistic on the home plate umpire. Now, Phil Cuzzi was not the home plate umpire, but he was in that crew, and he threw out Brett Gardner, who also went nuts during that game. But before we get to Phil Cuzzi and his story, some really busy things going on in Philadelphia sports. The Eagles have a new head coach. At the beginning of the search, nobody figured it was going to be Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni. Did anybody know who Nick Sirianni was other than the people in Indianapolis, with Nick Sirianni being the Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator? He was one of the last people interviewed by the Eagles for their head coaching position. Always knew that they wanted somebody on offense. And the word is they want to get somebody to straighten out Carson Wentz. Well, I think you need somebody to make sure that things are straightened out on the team. And you can't be focused on one player. I don't know much about Nick Sirianni other than when people say. I've been in touch with Frank Reich, the head coach at Indianapolis, and he told me Nick Sirianni did a great job for the Colts as their offensive coordinator, told me he was a stud and was going to be great for the Eagles. Well, we'll see. I still believe that Carson Wentz will be absolutely positively, well, maybe not absolutely positively, but will be the starting quarterback for the Eagles next season. I think he's got a chance to get things together, whether it's Nick Sirianni or not. Carson Wentz has got to take care of some things with working on parts of his game in the offseason. And then he's got to take care of some things mentally and his approach to coming back and competing for the job. And if he competes for the job, I think he will win the job over Jalen Hurts. So it'll be interesting whenever camp starts. And by the time some people may hear this, Nick Sirianni may have had his news conference after being officially announced by the Philadelphia Eagles as their new head coach. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, always wanted offense. Josh McDaniel, I think, is a I just don't think is a good head coach. He failed in Denver. He worked with Tom Brady. So what does that mean in New England? And just something about him that doesn't ring true for me. The general manager, Howie Roseman, liked him. The owner wasn't sold on him. The owner wasn't sold, although liked Deuce Staley, his running backs coach. So it came down to other options, and the best option was Nick Sirianni. I don't know that it'll be good enough, but I don't have a problem with it as it stands right now. One other thing I want to talk about is the NBA. And I'll just say this about the NBA. The commissioner, who I think is softer than soft ice cream and soft custard, very soft with the players. The players run the league, and I think that's a problem. He said weeks ago that he did not want his players to jump ahead in the line for the COVID-19 vaccine. Then all of a sudden he realizes that games are being postponed. They'll always reschedule them, but it still costs money. And national TV is missing out on seeing star players on their national TV broadcasts. And he also realizes he can't control the players because they don't have enough responsibility, obviously going out without masks, associating with friends, whatever, and not protecting themselves in catching the virus. When players get tested daily, and they're still bringing the virus to the teams, that means players aren't doing the right things outside of their facilities and outside of being with their teams. And Adam Silver can't control it. So what does he do? He's now all of a sudden changed his tune. For the African-American community, he's saying that he thinks the NBA players should now get shots, all of them. They're not all African-Americans, but all of them, to show the African-American community that it's okay, because some of them are hesitant, it's okay to get the vaccine. Well, if you want to do, and he wants to do public service announcements, if you want to do public service announcements, here's what I think you should do. Get a legendary NBA player who is African-American. You can go Bill Russell. Actually, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar already got a shot, so you can have him do a public service announcement. Julius Erving, you've got a long list of players who are African-American, who are legends, who people will respect, or get one of your star players. But to try to pass down this bullshit that, and it is total bullshit, that you're doing it to try to convince the African-American community it's all right by getting all your players vaccinated is, it's fraudulent, absolutely fraudulent. All he cares about is his money for the NBA and nothing else. If you would put your foot down, and I think football had their challenges, but they have a lot more players. They put their foot down, and players got fined all the time. And players aren't getting fined, and I'm sure they're finding out that the players aren't doing the right things. I will absolutely boycott the NBA, both in attendance and covering the games and watching the games, if they get their shots before the elderly and healthcare workers. They obviously want to go ahead of the healthcare workers. It is nonsense. It's bullshit. And I am done if that happens in the NBA. One other thing that I want to mention, and it's baseball. We lost on Friday a legend, another sports legend, and another sports legend, and one of the greatest, maybe in the top 3 to 5 players, and some people may even rank him the best. I rank Willie Mays the best, but he's right there behind him. Hank Aaron. We lost Hank Aaron at 86 years of age. And what a great ball player, the real leader in all-time home runs with 755. We can't go by Barry Bonds because Barry Bonds cheated for so many years, and it's disgusting that he ruined that record. But Hank Aaron hit 755 home runs, hit 305, and here is one of the more amazing statistics. In 23 years of playing the game, 23 years in baseball, Hank Aaron never struck out 100 or more times in a season. Never. Now, it's for a guy that hit that many home runs, hit 30 and 40 some home runs most of his years. Nowadays, when guys hit 20 to 25 home runs, they strike out well over 100 times because baseball's so screwed up anymore. Oh, it doesn't matter if you strike out. It's walks, it's home runs, and that's all it counts. If you strike out, it's okay. Here, just compare this. And I looked this up. Bryce Harper, nice player, doesn't hit the number of home runs that Hank Aaron hits. He'll hit 30-some a year. In 9 years, Bryce Harper has struck out, 9 years, struck out 1,055 times. In 23 years, Hank Aaron has struck out only 1,383 times. Bryce Harper is just over 300 behind him in less than half the amount of years in Major League Baseball. That's just one player. I'm not just zeroing in on Bryce Harper, but it's just one player. And Hank Aaron was amazing. Think of that. It's what an amazing statistic. Hank Aaron didn't strike out 100 or more times. He had twice in the 90s. Did not strike out 100 or more times in any of his 23 years in baseball. And he was a true home run hitter. Amazing. We have lost somebody really, really special. And it's sad with the number of players we have lost in the last few months in sports, in our country, and absolutely in Major League Baseball. I've met Hank Aaron. Very, very, very nice guy. And a wonderful, wonderful ball player. And a terrific guy to many, many, many others. We will miss Hank Aaron. All right, here is my conversation with Major League umpire Phil Cuzzi. I'm joined by a Major League umpire for 20 years, and that would be Phil Cuzzi. That's a long time to listen to those managers and players yell at you and complain. They never congratulate you. They just complain. But Phil, how is that the truth or not?
Well, you know, thank you, Howard. It is good to be here. It's, you know, don't ask me where the time went. So I'm going into my 22nd year, and it seems like just yesterday I was in umpire school. And, you know, it's really... it's been a great run, and you know, the people, we are so misunderstood as a group, and we always say that to know us is to love us, and you know, people just don't really realize our job. You know, they put the TV on, they see umpires on the field, and it doesn't, they don't understand what it takes to really get there.
Well, some guys are a little arrogant. Before we get into that, I mean, I'm thinking of one, and we probably are thinking of the same guy, and I know a bunch of the umpires. But the one thing, to show what a nice guy you are, and you're involved in an ALS fundraiser, which you obviously have been involved in for a long time, the Robert Luongo ALS Fund. WeFightALS.org is where you can participate. But just explain a little bit, and then we'll touch on it at the end as well, what you're doing here.
Yeah, you know, when I first signed my contract and that, you know, with the National League, my wife is the one who said to me, you know, long, hard road, and here you are. Now you really should think about, you know, giving back. And whether you visit children's hospitals or, you know, anything like that, but you have to give back. And I of course, I said, yeah, you're right. And then, unfortunately, you know, not knowing which direction for that, unfortunately, I was slapped right in the face with it with one of my best friends growing up, who was also like a cousin to me, because Robert Luongo's mother married my mother's brother. So we really weren't technically blood cousins, but we did have the same first blood cousins, and we grew up together. We were the same age. We went to junior high together. We played ball together. We graduated together. I went to a small state school after graduation down by you guys in Glassboro, and Robert went on to Harvard. But one day, I think it was the summer of 2000, I was home for a day off, and I got a phone call from Robert, and he said, oh, something's going wrong with my hand. It's numb, and now I feel as though it's going up my arm. Long story short, he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah, and, you know, Robert being a smart guy, he researched it, and he said, I've just been handed a death sentence. And yeah, it was really, yeah.
That's it's terrible. And you got let me just touch on it. There's the annual fundraiser. It's Thursday, January 28th, and there'll be a virtual I guess, you know, in the old days it would probably be a banquet. Now it's a virtual fundraiser. Bob Costas, Bobby Valentine, Bucky Dent, Joe Torre will be there. And then it's just it's great that you're doing that. And if people want to join in or just make a donation, wefightals.org. And Phil, all right, let me get back to the question. You say you guys are underappreciated, but some guys are a little arrogant. Are we thinking about the same guys, the same guy that might be a little arrogant?
Well, I might be able to guess who you're thinking. And but I can tell you that, you know, in terms of, you know, sometimes guys just get a bad rap for really just doing their job to the letter of the law. And, you know, there's not one guy on our staff that I would not want to be in a foxhole with, because, you know, again, it's just it's really a thankless job. And, you know, it was said one time by a veteran umpire in a meeting that we were having. And I forget who the representative was from the office. And he said, well, you know, and this goes back to Bud Selig days. And he says, you know, Bud really wants to know what's going on, because it seems as though you guys are being overly aggressive out there. And a veteran umpire stood up and he said, you know, it's not that we're any more aggressive than we've ever been. He said, but think about it. We are the only people on the field that tell the players no. No one else tells them no. Their managers don't tell them no. The general managers don't tell them no. You know, we are the only people that tell them no. And I think that really goes a long way.
Phil, in your, okay, we're talking about the guy that you might think I'm thinking about is Joe West. And I know Joe. And personally, yeah, he's a nice guy. But, man, he just irritates people because of a perceived arrogance. But I'm sure he's putting his foot down. And I'm sure there's probably some people that disagree with you. So when you get to that point, All right, what managers, and it's not as good nowadays as it used to be. Managers used to have all out, just screaming matches. When you were at, even on the base pass, they would come out and run down and maybe pull the base out of the ground or whatever. It just, who were the best, the best in terms of the most vocal and animated of the managers in all the years, the over 20 years that you've been an umpire?
Well, you know, if I'm often asked the question, who is the toughest manager? Who's the biggest manager? Who's the biggest, you know, pain in the rear? And if I were to say, well, you know, the manager who has been ejected the most has been Bobby down in Atlanta, right? And
Bobby, but you really, never perceive him that way, right?
Bobby Cox. Yeah, Bobby Cox. He has been ejected more than anyone in the history of the game. And I think that goes for Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella. But here's the difference. Bobby Cox was a fair guy. He would get ejected when he wanted to get ejected. And once it was over, the game was over, it was over. He never held it against an umpire the next day. He may have been truly angry at that time, but he never blasted an umpire in the paper. And everyone just realized that that was part of the job, and everybody moved on. And that's not, you know, that's not always the case with everybody.
You know, who was the what manager do you think, and if he's retired, it's probably easy enough to say, was the most unfair and would just argue to argue?
You know, different guys may have different, you know, it's a game of personalities. So,
right.
You know, I may get along with a manager where my partner does not. But for me, without any question, the manager who was most unfair and treated me most unfairly was Ozzie Guillen. And Ozzie would just come out no matter what. And of all the times that I've ejected Ozzie, he never once questioned the play. He automatically just came out and started, you know, cursing, screaming, and got ejected, but never once, you know, talked about the play. And, you know, to me, it was just unfair. I had, when he was down in Miami, we had a play at second, and it was just, I don't even remember who the hitter was and who the shortstop was, but the runner made a great slide avoiding the tag, but the ball beat him by so much. And it looked as though, you know, the runner was probably out. And Ozzie came out. It was the first time that I did not eject him because he didn't say anything. He came out and he looked at his shortstop. Who was the shortstop? Jose, he was with the Mets, and then he went to Miami. Anyway.
So many guys move around. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Ozzie looked at his shortstop and he looked at me, and I said, Ozzie, he never touched him. And he looked back at his shortstop, and he just said, wow. And he turned and he walked away. That was the only time Ozzie ever came out that I didn't eject him. But
all right.
Other than that...
I want to touch on Charlie Manuel. He seemed like a nice guy once in a while. And obviously you were an umpire, I believe, when he was probably with... I don't know if you were, when he was with Cleveland, if you were an umpire at that time, but certainly with the Phillies.
Yes.
What kind of guy was he like?
Charlie was an old school guy, and you know, he took that approach, and you know, you could say things and get away with more things with Charlie because he was an old school guy, and you know, as opposed to, you know, some of the guys today, you know, they don't even want you to look at them wrong, but. But Charlie was a different guy, you know, and I thought he was fair, and he was a good baseball man, old school guy.
Okay, all right. So now, and you told me you were part of the crew, Aaron Boone, who I've known since he was a kid, but I think he's done a good job with the Yankees. But he's an emotional guy. That one day that people all over America have seen because the audio got on there. I have bleeping savages in there, and he was all over the home plate umpire. And from what I understand, Brett Gardner, who was pounding his bat against the dugout roof. You had to eject during that game. So go over the whole scenario, where you were and how you perceive what Aaron Boone did with the home plate umpire.
Get out, Aaron!
You know, I know that Aaron came out and you know, we had a young AAA umpire working the plate. And, you know, Aaron came out, obviously, I believe he was ejected from the dugout and obviously came out to get his money's worth. And, you know, obviously it was about pitches. And so, you know, we never heard actually what was said until after the fact. And, you know, then Brett started banging the top of the dugout with the barrel of the bat. And, you know, people have said, you know, I heard, you know, announcers say, well, gee whiz, that's not in the rule book that you can't do that. Well, it's not in the rule book that if you're unhappy with a call, you can throw an egg at an umpire. That's not in the rule book. But if you did that, I promise you, he's going to be ejected as well. So, you know, I ejected him. And I just felt
as though... Did he say anything to you?
He said, "What'd you run me for?" And I showed him. But if he had done that after a teammate hit a home run, I don't think anybody would have thought twice about it. But because he did it, and that wasn't the first time that he did it, but because he did it after a displeasure of an umpire's call, you know, I thought that it was enough.
All right, so now you eject him. Aaron Boone gets ejected, but there has to be players. Balls and strikes, I don't know how many players will ever agree 100% of the time, but at least they'll keep their mouth shut. Who are some of the worst guys that whine about a ball or strike call?
Well, the most difficult hitter to call balls and strikes on is the guy who might just be 0 for 20. Doesn't matter what the name is. You know, Sammy Sosa, when he was going for the home run record during that exciting time, Sammy was a very difficult guy to call a strike on. And I'm not talking about a borderline pitch. So, you know, someone who really has something on the line or someone who is really in a slump, that's a tough guy to call pitches on.
Is there one guy?
Same thing for a pitcher.
Yeah, well, the pitchers. Yeah, okay, the pitchers. Is there one guy, and I guess it's difficult for you to say if the guy's still playing, but that's all right if you do. But is there one guy that you can remember that he was never happy? Never.
Well, again, it's the guy who just can't find the plate on that night, you know, and you know, namely a pitcher who didn't go out and have a rough outing and just couldn't find the plate. You know, I remember. One night I had Roy Halladay and he just was struggling. You know, anytime he came close to the plate, they knocked him around. And, you know, and as an umpire, when that happens, you know that there's probably going to be some sort of tension because he's out there, you know, getting mad. And may not necessarily be mad at me, but to a pitcher who's struggling, anything that's close looks like a strike. And, of course, to us, you know, my job is to get every pitch right. I'm not going to do that, but that's my objective, to go out there and get every pitch right. And, okay, you know, it doesn't matter to me if someone's going for a record or you know, if they're on a winning streak or a losing streak. My job is the same, inning one, inning nine, no matter who's hitting.
All right, so now the announcers say, oh, that pitch was on the black, and they indicate that that's a strike. Isn't the black not a strike?
Well, you know, that's kind of a little sandlot term, I feel. You know, I mean, the plate is the plate. And, you know, remember, if the ball is you know, 3 inches in diameter, as long as, you know, it's on the outside and the inside part of that ball nicks the plate, it's a strike. You know, okay. Even though the camera may look like it's off the plate, or as you say, you know, on the black. But remember, that's the idea. Any part of the ball goes through any part of the strike zone should be called a strike. Now, there's exceptions to that, because you have a that breaking ball that goes through the strike zone and lands on the ground. Well, technically, the machine says, well, it's a strike. We did what you asked us to do, and that was to register a strike for any part of the ball going through any part of the zone. But if it lands on the ground, even though it went through the strike zone, obviously you can't call that pitch a strike.
Right. All right. So now the pandemic changed a lot of things. Did you find it difficult personally with the pandemic last year and then playing the games and then going into this season? It's probably not going to be much different for at least the first couple of months. How difficult is that, knowing that you're so close to the guys? Now, they're wearing a mask, but you're not, I wouldn't think. So going into the season this year, do you find that difficult at all?
Well, first of all, last season, I opted out, and I did not work. But
oh, okay.
The umpires did wear masks. And, you know, I think as the season really progressed, I believe everybody had a mask on, but certainly okay. All the umpires did. And, you know, MLB offered opt-outs for anyone that they considered high risk. And because of my age, I was considered high risk, and it was recommended by the doctor that I shouldn't work. And I missed it, but I was happy that I didn't work. And, you know, especially I did not miss working under the conditions that the guys had to. And remember, it was a completely different ball game. First of all, no fans. I mean, you know, player, umpire, we feed off of the energy of the fans and the crowd, even if they're yelling at us, you know, in a negative way. But you know, we really have no contact with the teams off the field.
Right.
Our guys had to fly with the team. They flew on the team charters. They stayed in team hotels. So it was a much different look than anything that we're used to. And to your point, I don't know what it's going to look like this season. I only know that as of today, we're scheduled to go on time. I received my spring training schedule already. My first game is March 1st, although I think the first spring training game is the 27th of February. So I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but you know, season ended with fans, so I kind of hope that we're going to start with fans. But I never thought that I would miss the fans, but they were missed.
Well, trust me, when I was a fan, I used to yell at the umpires too. I loved it. I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough of complaining.
Well, they say that's why you buy your ticket, right?
That's exactly right. All right. All right, Phil, it's baseball season's going to happen. So I know the fans are happy about that. Hopefully, you know, from a health standpoint, it gets better sometime through the baseball season. And from your standpoint, give me the both websites. The fundraiser, the virtual fundraiser, is Thursday, January 28th at, I believe it's 7 p.m. And what are the websites and people can join? And I'm sure it'll be a great discussion between Bob Costas, Bobby Valentine, Bucky Dent, and Joe Torre. Give us the website.
Yeah, the website is, as you said, it's wefightals.org. We also have a second one, which is the Robert Luongo, Luongo, alsfund.org. And if you go onto the website, it'll give all the details about the upcoming event. As you mentioned, Bob Costas is leading a discussion. Think about this. If you're a baseball fan, you're talking about over 200 years of experience, because Costas, who's one of the best, will lead a discussion with Joe Torre, Bobby Valentine, Bucky Dent. And then if that isn't enough, again, as a baseball fan or a Sopranos or Blue Bloods fan, we're going to have Steve Sciarpa,
yep,
with Larry Berra. So I describe this as the sons of three of the greatest Yankees of all time. So we're going to have Larry Berra. We're going to have Randy Maris and David Mantle, along with Steve Sciarippa. And people will be able to submit questions on our webpage. And if their question is selected, then we will unmute them, and they could ask the question themselves live. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a great alternative to the live event, which we've been enjoying for the last 16 years. So I think it's going to be good. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Robert Longo ALS. And I think so far the response has been excellent. So, you know, right now we have, I think we have over 150 people who have already donated and will be on the call, the Zoom call on Thursday the 28th. So we're looking forward to it.
All right, and I'm gonna. I got the website. I am going to make a donation because I appreciate your time, Phil.
Thank you.
When things get better, I hope to see you down at the ballpark. And last year we couldn't come down because the umpire's room. I can kind of wait for the guys to come in and just say hello to them. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to the day that we can actually start walking around the ballpark again. treat things normally. But I appreciate good luck, and I'll be looking for your next argument with an umpire. All right.
Very good. Thank you, Howard. Good to talk
to you. All right, Phil. Have a great day. Take care.
Take care.
Some good stories. And as quiet as Roy Halladay was, I would have never expected that. He would stare you down, but I never pictured him as a complainer. But I'm sure we could go on and on with stories. Major League umpires have many, but you don't find many real all-out just fights anymore, arguments, because instant replay, other than balls and strikes, instant replay takes a lot of that away. But some interesting stories from Phil Cuzzi. Seems like a wonderful, wonderful guy. And obviously, if you're in Major League Baseball that long in today's game, it's because you're doing a good job. And I ask you, wefightals.org, wefightals.org, to donate to his ALS fund. And it will be, I'm sure, an amazing, and I'm going to take part in an amazing virtual get-together with Bob Costas, who's a brilliant baseball guy, emceeing it. So I want to thank everybody. One other note. JT Realmuto. I don't know when he's going to sign. The more I think about it, 5 years is really on the outside of anything I would offer a catcher. He's going to be 30 years old by the time the baseball season starts. 30 years old. I don't give 5 years to a 30-year-old. He's a really good catcher, but obviously there weren't a lot of people out there that wanted to pay him the kind of money that he wanted. He wanted $180 million over 6 years, and the Phillies have offered just over $100 million for 5 years. But the Phillies sign him, great. He will help the team. But I don't think it makes the difference on the Phillies competing for a true chance to win that division in the National League East. Again, I thank you for listening to the Howard Eskin podcast. We will be back. And I podcast my shows each week, my Saturday show, which we deal with a lot of things. So you can tune in for that. But thanks again for joining us, and have a great time until next time for the Howard Eskin podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.